everybody. It's kind of a sad day here. Hey, Stephanie.
Sad?
Well, because of Schneiderman.
What am I missing?
Schneiderman.
Oh, Christ almighty.
It bums me out.
You know, yeah, it's a real, that was a real big hit.
Oh, my God. I was sitting there on Monday night having my dinner, scrolling through my phone, obsessively, you know, looking at my Twitter feed. And I see Renato Mariotti posts, you know, four women have accused Eric Schneiderman. And I'm like, no! Obviously, I tweeted or I texted you. And I was so upset. And of course, the first thing that came to my mind was that they were set up, you know, through Trump or whatever. But then listening to this story, he's fucking a monster.
He's a drunken, punching, choking pig.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. As a woman who has been, like, I've been through a couple of drunken brawls with an ex-boyfriend before. I'm not going to lie. I never initiated, but I got picked up by my hair once. I got punched super hard in the bicep. And I hit back because nobody's going to fucking hit me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to just sit back.
Right.
Right? But we were kids and we were wasted. And I got out, right? But this is the New York State Attorney General who has a history of drinking too much and punching his girlfriends in bed.
Yeah.
And then threatening to kill them if they say shit.
And then saying, like, I am the law.
Right. And guess what? Then the law is going to go to jail.
Yeah.
The law is going to know what it's like to be in the system.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean it's just, it's so disappointing. And, you know, I read an article in Slate and I, it just basically said that Schneiderman wasn't necessarily all that when it comes to his battles with Trump. Yes, he has won some cases, but his big thing was he just wanted to, you know, publicize himself and show off and move up move up the ladder. Whatever. It's disappointing because we know that he was supposed to be a champion for women. He was supposed to be somebody who, you know, we could trust. And then we were all excited. I mean, I've been so excited about not just the fact that an attorney general from New York can, you know, indict or, you know, prosecute Trump. I don't know if he can do it while he's president, but the fact is that, you know, Trump can't start pardon state crimes and blah blah blah. So that that was my overall excitement, which still remains because there's going to be a new attorney general, and they're going to have
overall excitement.
Well, you know what I mean. Like I still have hope and excitement for the fact that's hanging there. It's hanging out there.
For
like,
sure.
He can't pardon for state crimes. So I don't know who's going to replace him and how that's all going to work. Is there going to be a temporary replacement and then there's going to be somebody running in November? Is that how it works? Do you know?
You know what? I don't know. But I feel like certain people are posturing for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you know, Preet Bharara's name is getting thrown back around, and then some people, you know, the always with her folks, which, you know, I'm certainly one of them, but there are some who are like, make Hillary Clinton. Yeah. It's like, no,
we can't have her.
They're going to have to recuse themselves.
Right. Would Preet have to recuse himself because he was fired by the president?
Right, right. And so that might be a reason for recusal. But who am I? I'm just married to a lawyer. You know, I'm just part lawyer. A few times a week, if you know what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I can be a pig too, motherfuckers.
Wow. But, you know, and then his fucking statement. And he says, in the privacy of intimate relationships, I have engaged in role-playing and other consensual activity.
Role-playing what? The rumble in the jungle?
Yeah, the smacking someone.
What kind of role-play is that?
And then he says, I have not assaulted anyone. I have never engaged in non-consensual sex, which is a line I would not cross. Right there, I don't fucking believe a word he says.
No, guess what he's doing? You want to know what he's doing? This is my prediction. You heard it here on the Start Me Up podcast. he is going to claim blackout drinking when those instances happened. I don't recall. Yes, I was frequently drunk and in bed in role play situations, and I don't remember punching my girlfriends out.
Right.
That's what's going to come.
Well, I guess according to this article, he would have two bottles of wine and then he would move on to scotch. So yeah, I mean, that's totally,
he was blacked out, but guess what? I did a lot of crazy shit that I had to be told about when I was blacked out, and I'm not, you know, okay, guess what?
Stop blacking
you
out.
You saw it. I didn't, you know, whatever. Yeah. I better change my behavior.
Right. Exactly.
You don't think those women said, hey, guess what? This bruise on my eye, that's from you last night during the good cop, bad cop role play.
Right. Well, and, you know,
he's
playing dumb.
It's bullshit.
Yes, totally. And these women are saying it was absolutely not consensual. And he didn't give a shit. And then I believe a federal prosecutor who remained anonymous said that he hit her. And I can't remember what the circumstances were, but I don't believe it was in bed. And I think he was asking her out or something like that. But still, the guy's got an anger problem. And, you know, I mean, we're not... And of course, what really fucking pisses me off about this more than anything is the right pointing their fingers like Don Jr. and Kellyanne Conway. Ha 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 ha. And it's like, what are you gaining from this? Other than, of course, you believe you're winning because Trump's, you know, the guy who's going after Trump is having to retire. The attorney going after him is having to retire. Other than that, this is something that I think, you know, this is nothing to do with partisan politics. He happens to be a liberal. But aside from that, it's like, you know, we point our fingers at Roy Moore and, you know, and other GOP sexual assault, whether it's, you know, Bill O'Reilly or whoever. But we also point them at the liberal ones, where they only just point them at the liberal ones and then they defend or find excuses for or ignore the Republican ones. And it's ridiculous. Of course, they're all going to say, what about Bill Clinton? And frankly, just for a second, I'll go there on Bill Clinton. Because honestly, I don't know, like, for instance, in the story that we heard about both Roy Moore and Eric Schneiderman, there were multiple people coming forward and there was just too much to deny. You know what I mean? It's it's one thing when a woman says, hey, I was raped by so-and-so and they've got no corroboration. They've got, you know, nothing else other than he said, she said. This is different. And so when you have all these women doing this and saying, I was hurt, I was hit, whatever it was, I don't understand how Republican people can cheer. What are they cheering for? You know, take out the politics thing, just because he was a liberal. See, and it's like, well, yeah, we're condemning him. He's fucking gone. He was gone in 3 hours after the article came out.
Right. Liberals are the first to condemn their own, even when they're not guilty. Kristen Gillibrand to Al Franken.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, and maybe I love us for it to a degree. I think it needs to be vetted, and it sounds to me like in the case of Eric Schneiderman, it certainly was vetted.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't get any better than Jane Mayer and Ronan Farrow when it comes to this shit, right? Mm-hmm. And those were the two that broke the story in The New Yorker.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that was vetted. The Republicans will turn their back on anything and everything as long as they can stay in power and keep making money and keep anybody that is of color, that has a vagina, that speaks out against them, and that is poor. We'll keep those people at bay because we are the Republican Party. So yes, we're winning when a liberal goes down. They take anything they can. You know, they don't look at it as, oh my God, human beings were violated and treated inhumanely. That's not that. The win should be that when somebody does something shitty to another person and they're caught for it, that's the win. And that doesn't, politics shouldn't come into that.
Right.
But they're fucked up people. This group, this Trump group. I mean, does Kellyanne Conway really think she's winning? Or is she just going to go down with a sinking ship?
Yes, she'll go down with a sinking ship. Unfortunately,
even though her husband speaks out against it, even though her husband is tweeting against it at every turn, right? Don Jr., I mean, that guy's just about as thick as a brick, but he has he has got to speak out against it because he's got nowhere else to turn.
Right. Well, you know? And his father is guilty of raping his fucking mother. You know, I mean, Ivana said so.
Right. She said so in court. Because he cut her a check.
And she did. Yeah. And she didn't. She's like, oh, well, I just don't want it to, you know, the official thing of rape, or I don't know what her dumb excuse was.
Yeah. That she's cuckoo in the
head. You know, I mean, I can understand, like you said, why they're doing it. I just don't understand why the average Republican voter is dancing a jig. You know, I mean, I certainly wasn't dancing a jig about Roy Moore, especially because they were defending him. And everything is, you know, all the women are making the stories up. It's interesting, too, how all the women are making the stories up when it's about a Republican. But they are real quick to believe it when it's a liberal. You know, they'll just...
They don't even need facts. No. They don't even need facts, for Christ's sake.
And then the other little thing about this that kind of frustrated me was, you know, I posted on my Facebook page yesterday when this was all new, coming out... you know, talking about, I was thinking of Preet Bharara, but now I'm wondering, does he have to recuse himself? But a few women came on and were arguing and saying that they didn't necessarily believe this was a benefit for women because it could have been, these women who came forward could have been incentivized by, you know, Trump or something like that.
Yeah.
And
that was my first inclination, by the way.
Well, it was mine too. But the thing is at this point in the game, this happened. And even if those women were incentivized, if Eric Schneiderman didn't hit anybody, there would be no story. The fact is he did. So he put himself in this position. And then I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, I'm really fortunate because I've never been struck by a man outside of when I was a kid. This boy who used to sit next to me in fourth grade used to punch me in my arm all the time. And I mean,
tell me his name.
Hard. I can't remember his name.
I was just going to go cut him. Just kidding.
But it was funny because he would punch. We were friends too, but every once in a while he would just get pissed off at something and he would punch me in the arm. And then one day we had those desks where you could pull the little drawer out. I don't know if you remember. It was like one long desk that everybody sat in and everybody had their own individual drawer. So I pulled my drawer out once when he was like bending over to tie his shoe, and the timing happened to where I pulled my drawer out and it hit him in the face and it really hurt him. And he was like, "Oh!" And he thought I did it on purpose as payback for him punching me. And then he never punched me again. And I didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. But anyway, outside of things like that, I haven't been in any relationships with abusive men, whether it's physical abuse or emotional abuse. I haven't been in a lot of relationships with men, and that's part of it. There was one guy who I went out with who had an anger problem, and I don't know what would have happened. And he lived in Los Angeles, and I lived in Northern California, and we went out, and our relationship was primarily on the phone. We saw each other once where he didn't get angry. But anyway, he got angry on the phone and he yelled at me in such a way that I've never been spoken to like this. It was rage. And then he hung up on me and that was the end. I was kind of happy, but it was the end of our little short-lived relationship. And I realized, wow, if I had been sitting there next to him,
he might have punched me.
And, so, you know, I mean, I feel fortunate because I haven't had that experience, but there are a lot of women who have experienced violence at the hands of men. And, you know, we don't know about all of them because they're not reported. And so this whole, you know, this Me Too movement and finding these, it's going to be inconvenient, but there's a lot of them, you know, that some of them are going to be inconvenient, like Eric Schneiderman. I'm going off onto two subjects here, but or two rants. I want to get back to the Bill Clinton thing, but you know, I just think that it's going to suck, but we just have to deal with it because this is what happens when patriarchy crumbles. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's just going to suck.
Yeah, you know. Here's the thing. I'm going to write that down. This is what happens when patriarchy crumbles. Because listen, this is obviously, you know, you want to talk about a man's world. It's a patriarchy. All of this, the law, the DOJ. Yes, there are women who have risen to very high and prominent positions within the government and, you know, at corporate law firms and in, I mean, you could take literally any industry and say, oh, sure, but they're the exception.
Right.
Okay. They're the exception. Still, I've been a professional woman for 30 years and I've held some high positions. I've never really wanted to run the show from the top. That's never been my thing in any business I've been in up to now. But so what's happening is men objectify, men sexually abuse and harass, right? And in the words of the woman who's running for California State Governor, Delaine Easton, she's like, that shit's got to stop. I'm paraphrasing now. She didn't say shit because it was at a debate last night moderated by Chuck Todd. But under no circumstances is that okay. And they should be acting differently. Mm-hmm. And when they don't act differently and women start rising up because we realize, you know what? We've always had to be a little bit more tempered and reserved when it comes to asserting ourselves in business, but no more. And now that we're speaking up and saying, hey, hold on a second, my voice needs to be heard on this business issue. My voice needs to be heard because I was sexually mistreated on the job. The patriarchy is fucking crumbling, okay? And men who have been in charge, like Eric Schneiderman, are hitting the skids because people are not going to remain quiet anymore. And so now I believe, I know you want to talk about Bill Clinton, but let's not forget that we need to talk about why women need to be in positions of leadership starting
absolutely.
Now.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think there should be basically half and half. I mean, you know, Sarah Wood, she's a writer on Twitter, said something like, fuck this, let's just put all women in charge. We've had all men in charge, so I don't want to hear your shit about this.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But no. I would be thrilled if it could be equally split, because that's basically, you know, I mean, give or take a percentage. You know, we're half women, half men in this country. So I think we should be represented by what our population is, what it consists of, as opposed to, what is it, 20-some% of the women are in Congress or whatever. So it's like, we need more. I think, you know, I mean, one of the women who accused Trump of sexual assault just won a primary. She ran unopposed, but it doesn't matter because it means that women are waking up and saying, all right, I understand that as a woman running, I'm going to deal with so much shit. It's so much harder for a woman candidate. It's hard for any candidate, but especially for a woman candidate. So because they are, aside from all the normal political mudslinging, you know, there's the appearance, there's the, you know, slut shaming or whatever, especially the right is going to find specific gender related insults or gender related, you know, scandals or whatever it is. We saw it with Hillary, so everybody knows what it is. And the only thing that I want to bring up about Bill, and I will say this, is that, you know, I know that there was that one woman whose name escapes me who accused him of rape. And I don't know if, I honestly don't know if there are other women.
The teenager?
Women. No, it's that woman. It's a woman who I guess accused him of rape back in the day, and then supposedly Hillary Clinton... Oh God, her name is like floating through my brain and I just can't think of it. But I guess supposedly Hillary like shook her hand once at an event and told her something like she held her hand real, like squeezed her hand and said, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing for my husband, like as some like code to leave him alone. Now, I don't know what the details are. I don't know who's corroborated that story. I don't know if there are multiple women accusing him. I know that the right is always screaming about it. Every time you bring up any man on the right, what about Bill Clinton? That's all you ever hear. Mm-hmm. You liberals don't ever say anything about Bill Clinton. Well, I don't know what the deal is with what he's done. If I found out today that Bill Clinton did something like that with a woman, frankly, I wouldn't be entirely surprised. I'm not saying I think that he did. I know he's a sniffing dog. He clearly cheated on his wife. And, right. You know, I mean, I don't know what he did.
He's different from Trump. I'm not saying that.
I don't think he's anything like Trump.
No. I mean, Trump is a sexual assaulter. Right?
Yes.
He forcibly takes sex from women.
Yes.
Okay. I think Bill Clinton took advantage of then 21-year-old Monica Lewinsky when he, talked her into blowing him in the Oval Office or wherever the hell. Was it in the Oval Office?
I think so. Juanita Broderick is her name, by the way.
Yes.
That's who it is. And so she is, I'm trying to look here, but of course, I don't have a subscription.
Okay, I know.
But yeah. He
and
did.
And she's been very vocal, but she's a big, I think she's a Trump supporter too. And I, so I don't know how much credence I want to give to those stories.
Right.
That
well, neither do I. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. I can't say that I know enough about it, but I don't know. Like in the cases of Eric Schneiderman, and in the cases of Donald Trump, there's multiple women coming forward. There's corroboration. There's doctor reports. There's all this evidence that mounts, even with Cosby. You know what I mean? There was just evidence and more evidence and more evidence. And Roy Moore, there's all these women who had, you know, proof, like, you know, him writing in their yearbook. So, you know, and a mall had to ban him because he was such a creepy perv. You know, so I mean, this is something that, like, if I found out that Bill Clinton did it, I would be disappointed. I wouldn't be entirely surprised. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm not calling him a rapist. I don't know. I really honestly don't know. But
the evidence against Bill Cosby is overwhelming. You can't deny it, obviously. And then, you know, the dude that's we could do a whole show on. Why did it take 50 women to come out and go on the record before they busted him?
Yeah.
Before he was accused officially. It's so wrong. It's such a disgusting culture that we live in, you know, and we can go down the path of that's why nobody speaks up, or not nobody, but that's why so few people speak up. Okay. But then with Trump, you know, here's a guy who, he admitted it himself, that he takes it from women without their permission.
He said it.
And yet the Republican Party hasn't turned against him. I can say
evangelicals unequivocally, haven't even turned against him.
No, Franklin Graham, you know, he says it's okay. We're going to forgive him. But Franklin Graham has said in the case of Democrats, they're evil and they should be punished. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Franklin Graham, Graham said on Clinton, Mr. Clinton's extramarital sexual behavior now concerns him and the rest of the world. If he will lie to or mislead his wife and daughter, what will prevent him from doing the same to the American public? On Donald Trump, I think some of these things, that's for him and his wife to deal with.
Right.
And I think the same with Stormy Daniels and so forth. This is nobody's business. Okay, so it's nobody's business when it comes to Trump, and that quote was kind of fucked up. But
no, I get you, please.
But yeah,
you know what that sideways bastard's saying,
right? So it's like it's one thing; he's just being a hypocrite, and it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah,
it's just incredibly frustrating because as a country, we need to move forward, and instead of, like I said, you know, pointing their fingers, going ha 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 ha, when it comes to a liberal doing this, you know, I mean, I think in terms of like when you, for instance, that Steubenville, Ohio rape story that was the big deal several years ago, which was those football players who, you know, were
raped an unconscious girl.
Yeah. This is something that happens all over the United States. This whole football culture, and I'm not bagging on football. If you like football, that's great. That's fine. But it's a culture that goes along with it, especially on the high school level, because, you know, in these small towns, especially red state, but not only, the high school football team is like the height of someone's life sometimes. So these kids are treated like they're royalty, like they are above the law.
That behavior is excused.
Yeah. And then what happens is the girls are treated like they're sluts because, you know, oh, they got drunk. So they should have known better. So what is that message? That's saying that boys are natural rapists. And when girls get drunk,
girls deserve it.
Yeah, they should just expect it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Control yourselves, ladies. Control yourselves from the guys pulling your pants down and inserting things into your vagina when you're 15 years old and drunk for the first time at a high school party.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's your fault, honey. You got to watch yourself, sweetie. Come on.
You know, and then adding to that, and, you know, I want to get to this whole pay-to-play Trump-Cohen thing.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do, I want to kind of just talk about the fact that, you know, we've got this culture going on of toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's happening because of the internet are, you know, we're seeing these incel guys, which are basically the involuntary celibate guys that are blaming women because they can't get laid, and then they go out and shoot up a, you know, college campus.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. And so, aside from the fact that these kinds of attitudes, you know, like in the smaller towns with the football players and things, you know, in a grand, you know, take it to a grand whole nation level where we still, women are basically called sluts if they talk about sex, if they enjoy sex, if they said they were raped or whatever it is. And then you've got the internet, which allows like the KKK and hate groups and, you know, these incels to grow. And it's just so alarming because we're going to have to figure out a way to, mm-hmm. I think like what's happening is the patriarchy is crumbling, and the result is, aside from things like, you know, what we're seeing happening with Schneiderman and Weinstein, we're getting stronger pushback from the angry men because, you know, there are those men that can't deal with the fact that white men are losing power. And right. So, you know, incels may blame women for their problems, but the fact is they're just angry. They're angry that they're losing power and they're targeting women. I think they're angry people in general, and they would find something to justify whatever behavior, you know, killing people or beating people, whether, you know, it wouldn't matter. I think that they're just angry people. But I think part of their anger stems from the fact that they feel insignificant, and they feel like the only thing that they have going for them is that they're white and male. And now that's even becoming, you know, it's like they're losing that. So they're lashing back.
Yeah, that doesn't give them an edge anymore so much.
Right. You know, and I wish that men, especially on social media, and I do see men doing this, but, you know, I see the defensive ones coming, you know, and screaming like the not all men crowd and blah, blah, blah. And it's like there's plenty of men. And I will say that, like, starting from 2012, when I first started my whole activist feminism thing online, you know, got a lot of pushback from even liberal men when you're a feminist and you primarily focus on issues that concern men behaving badly, then men mm-hmm. get defensive and they're like, why are you so angry at men? Why do you hate men so much? And as I said earlier, it's like, I'm lucky. I've never been in an abusive relationship. My father never abused me. My father was always kind and loving toward me. And, but I have eyes and I can see, and I have friends who have told me things, and I can read. And so I understand that this is a bigger picture and it's going on and it pisses me off. And I don't think anyone should have to deal with it. So, but, you know, instead of the defensive stance, it's like, I wish more of these men who just are so quick to get defensive would just say, this is a thing. We have to fix this. Because then they show themselves to be allies. They don't have to, you know, there's a wonderful man who's on my Facebook page. I believe he's in his either late 60s or 70s, around my mother's age. And he, you know, I wrote something about Schneiderman, and he said that, you know, he, when he was younger, hit women, but he was talking about when he was a boy, you know, and he hit girls and he hit boys. He had, you know, some violent encounters with boys. And then as he got older, it was just basically men. Occasionally somebody would say something in a bar or whatever, and they would fight. And so, you know, he posted that on my comment section and I liked it. And then he posted his comment and then shared mine, you know, like, so he copied and pasted his comment and then shared my status. And then he put his comment as his status, to set the tone. And then I liked it. And he privately emailed me and thanked me and said, you know, thanks for liking this, because I don't know if a lot of my friends are going to like it. And I just said, look, people evolve. You know, when I was younger and when I was in high school, I said things that were not politically correct. They were rude or mean to certain groups or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. my friends said it, I knew I could get a laugh. I wasn't intentionally trying to hurt anybody. I just thought I was being funny and sarcastic. Now mm-hmm. I got older and I realized, no, that's fucked up. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't do mm-hmm. that. So it's right. like, am I a terrible person? No, because I have evolved. I get it. That doesn't mean that I'm not the most politically correct person. I'm still going to say things, at least in private, that I wouldn't necessarily say in public, not against groups or anything like that. I don't use racial slurs or whatever. I can make stupid jokes with Bob and he knows where I'm coming from. But it's like, I see that, getting back to the men who are so defensive, I wish that there would be more men who can just chime along, and say, we need to change this. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to say, I never hit a woman. Just say, or if you want to, great, say it. But just chime along.
You know what would be awesome? And it doesn't happen, I was in media and still am, but on air, in sales for my entire adult career. And there were things that I did in my early days, where I joked with male and female coworkers, where stuff was just laden with sexual innuendo, bad behavior, getting drunk, blah, blah, blah. And we all kind of grew up and we realized, ooh, you know what? Not cool.
Yeah.
And, we changed our ways. And I work with many of those same people to this day who I was working with when I was in my 20s. And, we all still have a fantastic time. These are some of my best, longest friends, mm-hmm. right? And it's different. Everybody's evolved. And I truly believe that if something were to come up, although I can't even say that there has been an instance in recent years, where someone's been taken advantage of or where a woman's been put in a position to feel like she's being discriminated against based on sexuality or sexually harassed in the workplace. But I really believe that men we're in California too. I'm in California. But I think men have evolved. But I would love to see the decent men stand up and say, whoa, like out loud, hey, mm-hmm. that's not cool. A few years back, I can remember being in it was an all hands meeting with the whole company. And it was for a big, very well-known media corporation. And we were doing, it was a sales rally of sorts. And we were, rolling out new shit to sell. And somehow a car manufacturer came up as an example. And it was an Asian car manufacturer that the leader of the sales rally was using as an example. And somehow some asshole in the sales department decided to make it about race and called out on a Korean colleague of mine saying that he should be the one to approach that manufacturer, which wasn't even a Korean manufacturer. And then another person laughed and then they called him out by name again. And I was sitting in the front row and I went completely fucking ballistic. And I screamed, I stood up and I was like, you think that's funny? And one of the people in the room that led the joke was like a senior, it was a woman, a senior seller, like super successful, been at the company for 25 years. And then her boss, same deal, same, credentials, but her boss chimed in and called the dude out again. And I was like, this is absolutely unacceptable. And the leader of the sales meeting, who comes from on high at corporate, was like, whoa. but totally. And I went immediately to HR.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not working in an environment. This is a hostile work environment. This is insane. They were talked to. They were talked to. Mm-hmm. Because they produce too much.
Yeah, exactly.
For the company.
There you go. That's what it always boils
down to. And because they didn't want to make waves. Mm-hmm. And this person of Korean descent was humiliated in front of 100 of his colleagues. And And my loud brown ass was the only one to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah.
What the fuck kind of world do we live in? It's the same. It's racism.
Yeah.
It's misogyny. And it's when white people feel that, A, they have license because they're white and they have the privilege, mm-hmm. or they fear that people of a certain gender or a certain ethnic, you know, background are going to take away some of their power, their thunder. And I'm sorry, but when it's one person in a room of 100, whether it's sexual harassment or racial profiling, when only one person is willing to speak up, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And usually it's a chick. It's a woman.
Of course it is. And, you know, I do think that millennials are more inclined to defend and speak up just because of how they were raised and mm-hmm. and what they want, what kind of world they want to live in. I mean, sometimes I look at millennials and I just cock my head like a confused dog. I'm just like, mm-hmm. huh? Mm-hmm. And I'm not even necessarily criticizing. I just know that there are generational gaps. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, and I'm sure that my grandfather and my grandmother looked at me and were like, huh? What?
Yeah, right.
Who are you, you alien? Mm-hmm. So I know that when I look at millennials, because I'm going to be 50 this year, I look at millennials and sometimes I just scratch my head and I go, I don't fucking get it. I don't get mm-hmm. it. But what I do see coming from young people is, you know, the real desire to stop with the fucking discrimination all over the place. And, you know, I mean, I think Gen Xers are definitely sarcastic, and I am very sarcastic. And we also, you know, we're the generation, we've been accused of being, what's the word? Like, we just don't have any hope for anything. You know, we're all jaded. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, yeah.
But I don't believe that.
I don't think that we are. I think we're jaded about certain things because the boomers, you know, the boomers, you know, they were the ones to start getting divorced. And so there were all these latchkey kids and kids looking at these broken families. And so there's a certain jaded quality that we have. But I mean, I guess every generation can be jaded about something. Mm-hmm. But I think that the millennials are kind of like, all right, we're sick and tired of, like, when you go back and you look at movies, for instance, like 16 Candles. And even we talked about before Breakfast Club, you know, how mm-hmm. in the Breakfast Club, Molly Ringwald was basically being sexually harassed by Bender. And, you know, so, I mean, I think it's one thing. I think it's important that we show stories that reflect real circumstances, and they don't always have to be lessons, and they don't always have, you know, we can watch like The Sopranos and we can still root for the mob in the TV show, you know, because like you root for Tony, or like in Dexter, he's a serial killer, but you're rooting for him. You know what I mean? Because of the way that the story is written. But it's fiction. Even though the mob isn't fiction, the Sopranos was fiction. So I don't think that every movie and every book has to be this big lesson and we all have to, you know, be politically correct in our storytelling. I don't think we should ever worry about being politically correct in our storytelling. But I think that it's, you know, I do see a bit of a change when it comes to the reactions from men on, you know, the crumbling of the patriarchy, but we still have a ways to go. I see a change, a positive change from 2012 until now. A lot more men are doing what you said. They're not necessarily, I don't know that they're doing in person, but at least online, they are chiming in and saying, hey, now, come on, you know. I don't even want to go there with the I'm embarrassed for my gender thing, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of fucking shitty things white people did. I'm not embarrassed that I'm white. I'm embarrassed that there are horrible white people. I feel I'm embarrassed as a human that other humans are horrible, but correct. It's like, I don't apologize for my gender because of Phyllis Schlafly or Sarah Palin. I'm never going, that's stupid. I don't think men should apologize for their gender. I think that what they just need to do is stop being complicit if they've been complicit. I've been complicit.
Of course,
when
we
it
all
comes
have.
To sexual whatever in the workplace, because we've seen it and we don't say anything. or and there are many reasons. And it doesn't mean that we're horrible people, but the way that you change that is you just start speaking up. That's all. You just start speaking up.
You start speaking up and you change your behavior when you realize. Yes. Sometimes it has to be brought to our attention. Hey, guess what? That's not cool what you just did. You just humiliated that person by saying X, and I realize you think it was completely benign, but that hurt him or that hurt her. And then now it's incumbent on you to make the change. And if you don't, well, then you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Regardless of your gender, your color, your ethnic background, your social status, whatever.
Huh? Oh my God, we're already like 47 minutes into the show.
Because we're pissed.
I know, we really are. But you know, before we go, let's talk about this pay for play thing. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Let me ask you something real quick. Is it incumbent upon or incumbent on? Upon?
Bob? Upon.
Thanks, Bob. Sorry. You know, I'm still learning the English language.
Hey, I'm an author and so am I.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thing, let's.
Oh my
first
God.
Of all,
Michael Avenatti. Oh my God.
I have a new term for him.
Uh-huh.
This is what he is. At the Women's March, the first one, my son and his best friend made a sign. They're big into like all the Marvel shit.
Uh-huh.
And so am I, by the way. But they made a sign that said Guardians of Democracy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. And we still have it hanging we have it in the front of our house. We have all sorts of shit in the front of our house. The NRA is a terrorist organization. Buffy Wicks for State Assembly, Guardians of Democracy. Trump, Oakland resists Trump.
And I'm currently wearing my Trump for prison hat that you sent.
I told you, I can't believe you did. I love it. I wanted to send you guys something when you did your move. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to get the food wrong. I know you guys are so healthy. I would have sent you something greasy, you know? And so I saw those Trump for prison hats and I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect for these two Amazons walking into the gym with these things on. I would live to see that.
Don't even mess with Bob. He's 6'4".
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want you both. I think you guys should put those on and just walk the streets.
We should just go walk in front of the White House.
And take a selfie and then send it to me. And then, yeah. But yeah, let's, okay. So my new nickname for Michael Avenatti, because here's the thing. The Republicans aren't doing shit clearly.
No.
Trump would have to fucking kill somebody. I'm believing.
And they don't
honestly
even care about that.
And I don't even know if that would matter. Exactly. But Michael Avenatti is a guardian of democracy.
Yeah.
Okay. He's smart as shit. And I have to admit, at first pass, I was like, is this guy a bozo?
Yeah.
And it took like one appearance on one of the talk shows for me to go, oh no, he's not a bozo. And then I did a little research on him. And that mofo has like the, he won the largest class action suit in the state of California. It was against Kimberly Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this?
No.
Yeah. He brought a class action suit against Kimberly Clark for it having like poisonous ingredients in there. Here, hold on. Hold on. God damn it. I want to get this right.
Well, I do know that of all the, I guess like he's won over $1 billion.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. He's the shit. And he does it. It's a wrongful death class action suit. Oh no, wait, no. Here we go. And it was against Kimberly Clark. Needless to say, I want to say the number was like $458 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the biggest in California. But what I like is that he sees something. He took on Stormy's case because she was wronged for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so are the people of this nation being wronged.
Right.
And Stormy is a guardian of democracy. Mm-hmm. And the two of them are going to take this bastard down.
Yeah.
Now, pay for play. Go.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got that thing that he broke yesterday.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so all the other, like New York Times and all MSNBC or NBC has been confirming that they, okay, so here I've got like a New York investment firm whose biggest client is company controlled by a Russian oligarch, Viktor
Vekelsberg or something.
I don't know how to say it. Deposited $500,000 into a secret account set up by Michael Cohen to pay off Trump's sexual partners. But they also got money. And actually, I think it's like, I think Avenatti was saying since last year, I think they got like $4 million or something like that. But anyway, it says it's clear from the reported transactions that there was more money flowing into the Essential Consultants was the shell company that Cohen set up.
Essential Consultants.
Essential Consultants account then has been revealed. At the time, Cohen withdrew the $1 million and the account hadn't yet received $750,000 by AT&T. And then I'm going to say this wrong. Novartis.
Uh-huh.
And then Korea
Which is a
Aerospace.
Drug company.
Yes, yes.
These are lobbyists.
So clearly, and then I guess they were supposed to be getting information or whatever for the, you know, research for the companies. But then there was
they're
no research.
They're not lobbyists. I'm sorry. They're paying Cohen like he's a lobbyist, but he never properly registered himself as a lobbyist. So here's what's happening. And here's what Avenatti said in dumb people terms, which I totally get.
Yeah, I need that.
Okay. So he said, these, you know, here's 50,000, 50,000, 50,000, 50,000 for months in a row from AT&T. This was with Lawrence last night. Okay. And that looks an awful lot like AT&T paying lobbyists because AT&T wants to get close to the president. And Michael Cohen probably said, hey, I got access to this dude. Pay me the 50 through my shell company, Essential Consultants. And then this Novartis shit and this other, this Russian, what is it, Vekselberg? I don't know how to say his name.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing.
Vekselberg. That's what it is.
Vekselberg. Let's just look at AT&T alone. Mm-hmm. He ain't a lobbyist. Cohen is not a lobbyist.
And and the thing is that they had, I think Rachel was talking about the fact that, you know, they cared about the whole net neutrality thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, they're going to get something back for the money. And then it just goes to like, okay, so let's say they've got $4 million. From Russians, from AT&T and all these companies. And the idea is, so is this money only being paid out to, you know, to women that are hush money, hush payments to women? Or
certainly
what
not.
Else is done is what else is being done with this money?
Well, this is all bribery.
Is it going to be connected to Trump, though? Like, did Trump get some of this money? Did this obviously Michael Cohen? I think, did he take out? I think he took out $1 million.
Well, so he also, you know, he claims that he took 130 out on a home equity line to pay Stormy. And then dumbass Giuliani comes in and starts flapping his gums. That man's a mental patient, by the way. I mean, is he kidding? But Trump has slowly in dribs and drabs paid Cohen back. But here's the thing.
Mr. Billionaire.
Right. If Novartis, their claim is that they hired Cohen for healthcare matters and paid him approximately $1 million. Okay. What? He's a taxi cab guy who's a thug who has a Ukrainian wife. And I mean, what's this whole, follow the money.
You know, I mean, it's like, okay, there's the law and then there's Republicans and what's going to happen? Like, I mean, I don't think there's anything that can come out that's going to make Republicans go, oh, well, he crossed the line. So that's it. We're just going to suck it up. They're not going to do it. And Mitch McConnell isn't going to do it because he's taking money from fucking Russians. You know, there was that Dallas Morning Star, Dallas whatever article from last year that chronicled all the money that came in from Russia to the Republican Party. It was like it was like, how much was it? 750, was it million? Do you remember, Bob? How much, or 75 million or some really high
some
number.
Some insane amount of money.
Republicans got.
The ties
got.
Are so deep and you gotta, you know, I think that's why it's taking so long because here's Mueller doing this Russia probe. You know, they call it the Russia probe. I don't think it's just as it relates to Trump because it's just as it relates to Trump. If that's the case, then it relates to all these other people too, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, and where are the ties? And Manafort's been awful quiet, you know? the guy who decided to be the campaign manager for free, who owes how much to the Ukrainians?
Yeah.
Is that 750 million? Maybe that's where that figure comes in. I don't even know at this point. But the follow the money, you know, we are, you know, this makes Watergate look like someone knocked off my daughter's lemonade stand out front and ran off with the $5.50. This dwarfs.
But somebody is Giuliani even talking about this today? About this whole thing?
Let's see.
I don't even know if he's saying anything. I haven't seen anything. But somebody needs to put a microphone in front of his face and glue it to his hand, because every time he talks, it's like a win for us. Yeah, you know?
I love it. Keep on talking, sweetheart.
Yeah, just keep going. Oh my God. It's just insane. I don't know, but where does
Giuliani
this end up?
Today.
You know, we need to either Mueller needs to get his ass going right now, or I guess actually what I'm trying to say here is I'm concerned that
it's
taking
too long.
Well, but the thing that concerns me is that if we win the House and then we win enough back in the Senate, Democrats are going to start impeaching, start impeachment or whatever.
And, yeah, but are we going to win the Senate?
I don't know if we're going to win the Senate, but I think we're going to win. We're going to take the House, and then we might get some more seats in the Senate. But you never know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
It's possible that we could win the Senate. It's not likely, but we can win back some seats. But the thing is that if impeachment is going to start with the Democrats or happen with the Democrats, then it's going to be so partisan. Whereas if it happened right now, if there was just something undeniable, and I don't know what that would be, I don't know what would be the line for the Republican Party at this point, but whatever that would be, let's just say if there is something, it came out now.
Okay.
Because if they could get him to go now, then they can't, the Republicans aren't going to be able to use the line, the Democrats were just pissed off and this was, you know what I mean? It's like with the Republican Congress.
You know, there's so much that my head's about to explode. We haven't even talked about the Elliot Broidy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. The $1.6 million that Fury in New York magazine, but I think his name was Paul Campos, the author. The reporter, last name was Campos. Anyway, came out yesterday. I read it in its entirety on my iPhone at my desk while I was working. But here's the thing.
As most people in America do.
Right. But I mean, I stopped everything because I'm like, this is it. And then I prayed to Jesus, which my mom would say, honey, that's not what you pray to Jesus for. okay. So Rob Reiner, who's absolutely one of my faves.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so good. He said yesterday, just 24 hours ago, and it's almost like old news at this point. After every crazy shit-ass thing Trump does, we all say, well, that's it. It's over now.
Right, and then
But somehow, like the Terminator, he's still there. But if it turns out that Trump, not Broidy, paid off the second playmate, this time as president, I do believe it's toast.
I don't.
We'll see. Mark his words, and let's just see.
I don't think because that, to me, isn't enough for them. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit that he cheated on Melania. They don't give a shit what he's doing.
Hold on. This chick who, read the story when you have an extra, 10 minutes. This dude vetted it. It's not just a theory like I say when I'm on my third cup of coffee and, sweating. I think, mark my words. No, this guy vetted it all. This woman, so Trump and Hefner had a really tight relationship for many, many years. It abruptly ended, I don't remember what year, but it abruptly ended. And it could have been at the time when, if this theory is correct, Trump started having an affair with one of Hef's girlfriends, and I can't remember the woman's name, the one that got the $1.6 million. We don't need to look it up right now because that's not important to the story. But she was Hef's girlfriend. Trump was a regular guest at the Playboy Mansion. He had a thing for Playboy Playmates. Hello, Karen McDougal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This chick, it is purported that she had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that turn the evangelicals I don't know. No. Affairs don't turn the evangelicals, but these are pro-life diehards, right?
It doesn't matter, though, because their pro-life stance is bullshit. They don't really care about the fetus. They want control of women, and that's what it boils down to. The control of the fetus is just a big, you know, it's a smoke screen. Oh, look at this. Look at this poor fetus. What we really want to do is control women.
Right.
So I don't think an abortion is going to matter. I don't think it's going to give. They're not going to give a shit. They don't fucking care. There was some poll out not too long ago about, you know, like, what if Trump did collude with the Russians? Would you care? No, they don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they don't give a shit about that.
Maybe if, like, there was, if Trump literally shot a child, a baby, they would disown him, but they would probably, you know, Kellyanne Conway would go on some sort of spin it out of control, and everybody would just repeat.
Asking to be shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the child was a liberal, so it deserved it. You know, I mean, they'd find some
reason. The child mowed his lawn wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was too politically correct, so they killed it. I mean, I just, they will justify anything. And so I don't think abortion is enough to
Yeah, I guess not.
Trump.
Okay. So here's what will be enough. And this is what it's going to take. It's going to take irrefutable evidence that is either brought by Avenatti or Mueller. I can't believe I just put Avenatti first. That's our country.
Yeah.
And it has to be presented to the Republican-controlled House and then Senate, and then they'll impeach. It's the only way it's going to happen.
You know, I don't even know what is that irrefutable evidence going to be? Because
there's collusion, and that $1.6 million that was paid to on Trump's behalf, not Broidy's behalf, was actually Russian money that came through essential consultants. Now, I don't know. I'm making it up. That's not too far-fetched.
But what happens when Mitch McConnell takes money from Russians? Isn't he the one who's going to decide all of this if it gets to the floor or not?
Oh, please. That's what they say. But give me a break. If all of them turn against him, then he's going to...
But they're afraid of him. This Republican Party is so fucked up. I don't trust them for one second. I don't believe that there's anything Trump could do that would make them turn. And the reason I say that is because part of the Republican Party has accepted money from Russians. So, you know, okay, they're going to try to... Whatever their reasoning is for accepting money, whether it's they're compromised or that they don't want to go against, you know, taking that money and the party and all that. And then there's also the ones that are kind of stuck between that rock and hard place because they feel like, well, they're too afraid to speak out against Trump, even though they don't agree with him. They won't necessarily say something terrible about him. They might kind of hint around at it. And then there's, of course, the Trump lovers. But they've got to deal with Mitch McConnell on top of it. And Mitch McConnell has made it very clear. There is a line in the sand. He is just not going to fucking budge. He is not going to budge. He said there's no reason Mueller should be fired or he had no problem with Mueller, except he won't put that vote to the floor on protecting Mueller. Even though Trump, he said there's no reason to believe that Trump Mueller is going to be fired. Even though Trump has said that he might have to step in and he's considered firing Mueller on more than one occasion. So Mitch McConnell is a fucking liar and he's protecting his own ass. And I don't trust for one second that anything that comes from Mueller or Avenatti or any of them is going to convince the Republican Party or just Mitch McConnell to take this to his colleagues. And I don't think his colleagues will fight back because they're all like freaking out. They want to keep their positions. They want money from the party. They are not sure how to deal with their constituents, but they really don't have to answer to their own constituents. They just have to answer to the money. That's what they want. It's the money. Because our system is set up, unfortunately, our government is set up in such a way now that it's all about how much money you get. And that's what they care about. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, I mean, I don't know what this evidence would be, but I wish that there would be something just so bombastic that nobody could deny it. And then it would happen before the election because the Republicans would still blame it on, you know, Hillary or Obama or whatever, but it would just be empty when it comes to midterms. And let's say, let's go with the idea that we've won. And then the new year comes, you know, we're going to start seeing action from Democrats regarding this investigation. So, you know, hopefully it'll lead to impeachment or whatever. And then, of course, the Republican Party is going to go batshit crazy. And yeah. and what's going to happen, and that really scares me, is their base then is going to be just as motivated as our base is right now, as the resistance. I think there's more of us, so at least there's that. We have to stay motivated, because that's going to motivate, just like Barack Obama, a black man getting elected, motivated them to, you know, take over Congress and the White House with a bunch of fucking lunatics, the Tea Party. And, you know, I mean, it's like they're going to be motivated. They're going to be so angry, and they're going to be motivated to get us back for what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's just frightening. It's just crazy. But, you know, I guess we're just going to have to take this ride.
We are. And we're going to fight like hell. Not just now, but for the long term.
Yeah.
Like I am a changed person. I am a changed person. And I know you are too. And I know so many of us are. And in, you know, as James Comey said a couple weeks ago in San Francisco, when I was in the last row at the Current Theater watching him sweating and, but still, you know, sometimes you got to burn that whole fucking forest down to allow for new growth, and we are the new growth, and this resistance is the new growth.
Yes.
You know, and we're going to roll.
Well, you Woo! Know, it's that time of the podcast where I tell everybody that you should support us. If you're not already
Please
supporting
do.
Us, you know, you could just go to, I don't have my little paper in front of me, but we're on Patreon. It's Start Me Up on Patreon. We're also on iTunes, but you can support us at Patreon. You could do like $1, $2, $3, $5 will get you into our next segment, which is called End Another Thing.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that.
You don't. We usually get a little personal in that, a little bit more personal. Sometimes we talk about politics. Today we're going to talk about some relationship issues and some other things. But anyway, you know what? I could have talked to you for like 2 more hours. I had all this.
I know.
Just like with Rachel, she prepares these shows and then... You know, but we just kind of got off into a tangent, so I guess that's good.
Well, what's new? I mean, we got so... it's there's just frenetic. So many... There's so much crap
exactly.
going on. Jeez.
Anyway, all right. Well, on the 30th, we are going to have Molly Jung Fast on the show.
Ow!
And so it's going to be a cool and funny show. I can't wait to talk to her because she's just so funny.
Cannot wait.
She's really funny. Anyway, so see you next time.